Some New Hampshire school officials are raising concerns about a newly revised state law meant to limit the use of restraint and seclusion on students. The changes went into effect in September and were championed by advocates of children with special needs, who are statistically more likely to be restrained. The changes narrowed the definition of when physical restraint and seclusion can be used and added stricter reporting requirements. Eric Herlin is an attorney who specializes in education law and has been working with school districts on complying with the new rules. He spoke with NHPR's Morning Edition producer Michael Brindley about the issue.
So you work with the school district in Manchester. School officials there recently changed their policy to be in compliance with state law. But there was some hesitation among some, including the mayor, who said this makes it more difficult for educators to protect themselves. What have you heard from the districts you're working with as far as concerns with the law?
One of the biggest concerns is that it's going to interfere with what has historically been considered fairly routine contact with children who might be disruptive in the school setting. There's a big concern that under this law, as it's written now, children can be disruptive in school. Officials can take low-key interventions to try to resolve the disruption. But if they fail, they are unable to make physical contact with that child to move him or her out of the setting. What this means is that other children or other adults have to leave those environments rather than the child who is disruptive.
So now the law is in effect. Have districts been seeing that, or is that still unclear if that's the reality?
We often hear of situations where in dealing with a disruptive child, the students in that setting have to be removed from that setting rather than the child. This, by the way, is a difficulty that existed in the law in 2010, and it continues to exist in the law now. You are only allowed to use physical restraint under this law in a situation where there's an imminent risk of serious bodily harm. And serious bodily harm has a very rigid definition. Essentially, there has to be a risk that someone's going to have to go to the hospital, be hospitalized, severe lacerations or burns. A very high level of harm has to be at risk. And so when you have a child who is simply very disruptive but not presenting a risk of serious bodily harm to anyone, you are not permitted to restrain the child. You can escort the child, but if the child actively resists being escorted, if you don't have a risk of serious bodily injury, you just need to evacuate everybody else. I think that concern about the law permitting or leading schools to evacuate others rather than removing a child is a big concern. No family is going to be happy when they're told that their child was hurt in school, and school officials say, "Well, we couldn't physically stop the child because there wasn't a risk of serious harm."
So the concern being that teachers may or educators may have to make those decisions about what is an imminent threat in the heat of the moment and not just be able to take action.
That is certainly true. Our hope is that if there are complaints against schools or other facilities, they will give some degree of deference to the person operating down in the trenches and having to make a judgment call about whether this is an imminent risk of serious bodily harm, or that is an imminent risk of serious bodily harm. But a better law would permit physical contact with students and restraint in those situations where there's a risk of injury, serious injury, as opposed to serious bodily injury. And this law only permits the intervention in the case of serious bodily injury. That's unfortunate. We've also heard a lot of concerns from schools that the law does not permit intervention for the purpose of protecting property. You could have a student destroying property and valuable property in a way that doesn't present a risk of serious bodily harm to anyone.
And how many districts are you working with across New Hampshire currently on this issue?
Certainly actively a dozen or so. We've been in contact with a lot more districts than that, and we've had broader-based discussions on the law and how the law works with a larger number of schools.
And how are they doing as far as getting their policies in compliance with the new state law?
Everyone we know is getting policies up and running. And there's a lot of education that has to go on with that. I assume the legislature understands that when they pass a new law like this, you've got to re-educate staff. This is a complicated law. I mean, you and I are talking about physical restraint. It also governs seclusion, and it also governs something called intentional physical contact and requires notification of families and the writing of reports in the event of intentional physical contact with an angry or aggressive child.
And so data we've seen from the state health department shows that at least in treatment centers, there has been a spike in some places once this law has gone into effect as far as restraints, number of restraints reported. I know you don't deal with treatment centers, but as far as public schools go, would you expect to see any changes as far as reporting when it comes to the number of restraints just because of the new law and the new guidelines?
I do not know what the numbers are saying, but I think as school staff become educated about this new law, they learn the reporting requirements that have to be followed. Again, in all three areas that I've mentioned, there are reporting requirements, and you just have to assume the numbers are going to go up. And what we're concerned about is that the public is going to think something is happening bad in our schools because numbers are going up, when in truth it's simply a new reporting requirement that's being handed down to schools.
Eric Herlin is an attorney specializing in education law. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Michael.